This reading is taken from Exodus chapter 29, verses 44 to 46. So I will make the meeting tent and the altar holy, and I will make Aaron and his sons holy, so they may serve me as priests. I will live with the people of Israel. I will be their God, and they will know that I am the Lord their God. They will know that I am the one who led them out of Egypt. I did this so I could live with them. I am the Lord their God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're hearing that reading about a meeting tent, this special tent. And what was it for? Did you spot in the reading? It was so that God could live with his people. The Lord God wants to live with his people. Now, this is a massive surprise. I don't know if you realised that as we went through. Why is it a massive surprise? Well, we need to remember that God is holy and sinless. And people are not holy. They're sinful. And those things, they just cannot mix. Some things can mix well, but God and sin, which is anti-God thoughts and deeds, well, they absolutely cannot mix. And God says, I will live with the people of Israel. I will be their God, the Lord God, with his people. But they cannot mix. So how is that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen because the Lord God is going to be with his people in this tabernacle. This special tent is called a tabernacle. Well, God gave them instructions to make a tabernacle, a special tent, which would be how God could live with them and keep reminding them of the dangers of trying to mix. How did that happen? Well, Moses took a collection and the people gave and gave and gave generously to the making of this tabernacle. Moses had met with God, and then he got really detailed instructions as to how to make this tabernacle. In fact, lots of the chapters of Exodus, almost a third of this big book of Exodus, is details on how to make this tent and how to make all the bits inside. I've made a scale diagram so you could see to scale what it would have looked like, those outside walls, sort of cloth, and then inside there'd be wooden walls and then a canvas over this sort of tent in the middle. You can see a courtyard that you come into, and then the tabernacle is split into the holy place and the most holy place. And in the most holy place is that ark, which you may have heard of. Well, when it was completed, what do we see? Well, we see lots of gold and special fabrics and woods. This was a palace for a king. And a cloud which moved when you should move. This was King God. God's glory was present with his people. And it was great that God is with us. And also, what do you see when you look at the tabernacle? Well, we see lots of activities and physical things to separate God from people. It's a temple for God's holiness. It's a bit scary that God is with us. Well, let's pretend to be an Israelite on the outside. And we're going to go in, shall we? We approach from outside. We go past all the tents of all the people. The tent of God is right in the middle of all the tents of his people. So we go past those and we approach. And then we have to go through the gates and into the courtyard. When we get into the courtyard, we see sacrifices happening and we see involved washing procedures. And we could go up to the entrance of the tent in the middle, but that's as far as we would be allowed to go. You cannot get any closer to God. If you tried, you would get sick or die. You cannot bring sin into the presence of God, and we need to take the holiness of God seriously. So we cannot enter that tabernacle tent by ourselves. That's sad. But God made tabernacle priests, there's one, to help people know him better. a priest can enter the tabernacle tent. So let's follow priest Brian. You might recognize him as one of our leaders, to see what he has to do. Well, he has to burn a sacrifice for himself and for the people. He has to wash hands for himself in order to get any further. Then he goes through the curtain into the holy tent. So he's now got into the holy place. In the holy place, we can keep the lamps filled with oil. We can see the special bread. And we can burn incense and offer prayers. But we cannot go through these final curtains. We cannot go into the most holy place. Through these curtains is the Ark of the Covenant, the special place where God is. Now, we know that God is everywhere. He's not restricted. But through this curtain is the place where the Lord God especially lives with his people. Well, to get through these curtains, it takes one man set apart by God for the task, on one particular time and day of the year, set apart by God. We need the high priest. He'd go in from the outside into the courtyard to do sacrifices for himself and the people, to do lots of washing and change his clothes and other rituals, and then finally into the holy place. And with the incense, he created what we now call a smoke screen between him and the most holy place. And finally, with all the preparation that God provides on this one day, one set apart man representing the people can enter the most holy place. Wow. So what does that tabernacle teach us? Well, it shows us that God is loving and he wants to be with his people. But people are sinful. We reject God and turn to our own ways. And so people need protection. They need safety barriers. And we see safety barriers in lots of places, don't we? Helping us to not get hurt. Here's one. Police, do not cross. You're not allowed through here. Stop. This is a crossing or something. This is a barrier to keep us safe. There's danger here. Staff only. Only a certain sort of person is allowed past here. And if you're not that sort of person, well, you could get into trouble. Height restriction. You need to be a certain sort of shape. If you're the wrong shape to go through here, you're going to get hurt. And here, wear protective clothing. This is somewhere where you need to wear particular clothes to keep you safe. Lots of different sorts of barriers to keep us safe. And the tabernacle had lots of barriers which said, watch out, stand back, be careful. The sacrifices showed that blood and death is involved. The washing showed that we need cleaning to come to God, and then a different set of clothes which God will provide. And the one set apart person on a set apart day was to represent us. The Lord God would be with his people in the tabernacle. Now, when there are barriers between us and people we love, it's sad and it feels wrong. Like right now, at this time of COVID, there's all this social distancing and staying away from people, and it feels sad and it feels wrong. The tabernacle was God's gracious and loving way of keeping his people safe, but not staying away, coming close to us to be the Lord God living with his people. He's gracious and loving to Israel, giving them a way they could know he was with them. And he made this as a plan to show us how we might be perfectly with him in Jesus. And let's look at how that happens in our second reading from John 1.
This reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, 14 and 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How is the Lord God with his people? He's with them in Jesus. Lord God is with his people in Jesus. Jesus came to be God dwelling, or literally in verse 14, tabernacling amongst us, with us. And as we trust Jesus, we can come as close to God as Jesus is. And we need this. The writer C.S. Lewis once said that we can imagine people like cars. Now, here's a nice car. Imagine yourself like that one. But we need to look after it to keep it running well. If we put sweets or we put milk or we put something strange into the engine of that car, well, then it might look like this. It's going to explode, isn't it? It's not going to run well. Cars are made to run a certain way. And we're made to run a certain way. We're made to know God as our loving Father. Without that, we end up crashed. Well, the Lord God can be with his people in Jesus. While the Israelites needed a tabernacle so as to be close to God, we can have God's Spirit live in us because of Jesus. If we trust in Jesus as Lord and in his death for us to save us, we can have God with us. So, for instance, when you come to God in prayer, imagine it's a bit like being in that most holy place through the curtain. And you can be there with God whenever and wherever you are as you trust in Jesus. We're going to think a bit more about the Lord God with his people in Jesus. I'm going to think about how the tabernacle helps us to understand what it means for the Lord God to be with his people in Jesus. Firstly, the tabernacle had lots of gold and special fabrics and wood. It's a palace for a king, God's glory. It's great that God is with us. It's very special that God is with us and amongst us. This is our God and we are his people. So are you excited about that? The king is here with us in your life, in my life. Do we have pride? You can imagine the people of Israel around this tabernacle. They could always, everywhere they were, they'd look at their tent and say, look, here he is with us. This makes us proud of this. This is great. God is being with us. He's lifted us up as his people. And can other people see that God is with you? The other people looking in on this camp, they would certainly know there's the cloud, there's the tent. God is with his people. Can people see that God is with you? That you live a certain way, that you have a certain trust and assurance in who God is and that God is perfectly with you in Jesus. This is what Israel was rescued for, and this is what we were rescued for, to have God live with us in Jesus. Do you remember that C.S. Lewis quote? God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on petrol and it would not run properly on anything else. Now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. Are we feeding on, are we running on God's presence in us? And secondly, well, the tabernacle had lots of activities and physical things to separate God from sin. It was a temple for God and speaks to us of God's holiness. What God is like. He's awesome. And it's the same derivative of the word awful. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Awesome and awful. Awe contains fear, a right fear of an awesome God. Is it a bit scary that God is with us? Do we take that seriously in our decisions of what we do each day? We see the holiness of God and the effect of sin. Has sin got the stink of death for you? Is it disgusting? Because you know that God is living in your life. And instead, we're invited to follow the wonderful way of holiness, God's ways. Do we desire this? Do we pray that God will give us the desire to live his ways in his holiness? The Lord God, revealed perfectly in Jesus, is glorious and holy, and lovingly provides a way to be with us despite what we're like. I wonder, how could you use the tabernacle to explain to someone what God is like? He's loving and wants to be with us, and he's glorious, and he's holy. I wonder if you get those words in. Maybe practice with someone with you at home, or someone you might go out for a walk with today. And how can dwelling on this tabernacle, what we learn in the tabernacle, help us to remember, help us to believe what he is like? God is holy. God is glorious. God is loving and leads us and cares for us because he is with us. Amen.